Listen, please, to the following checklist and evaluate your finished work or pinpoint any potentially weak area in the book that you've created. First of all, your title. Is it catchy? Is it short? Is it appropriate? Second, your opening. Does it arouse interest and hook the reader? Third, organization. Do you tell readers what you're going to tell them, then tell them, and then tell them what you've told them? Is the book logically presented? Have you used headings and subheadings to help communicate your nonfiction message? Credibility. Is your manuscript built on a foundation of accurate information? Are the facts the most current available? Names and places spelled correctly? Figures right? Can the reader sniff the unmistakable aroma of authenticity in the pages? Have you avoided issues which could too quickly be dated? How about your sentences? Are their lengths varied? Their structure and meter? What are they like? Mix them up, shrink them, stretch them, make them gallop. Let them be languid. Just please don't let them go on forever. How about your conclusion? Does it just stop? Or is the package tied together and truly finished? Spelling. Use your computer spell checker. Call a librarian for clarification. Check questionable words in the dictionary. Do whatever you need to do, but spell them right. And punctuation. Does your punctuation clarify what's written? Does it give impact? Do you add zest by using varied types of punctuation, such as semicolons, colons, dashes, parentheses, quotation marks? Or do you simply stub your toe on a comma over and over again? How about grammar? Is it correct, yet alive? Use common sense when applying the rules and don't be inhibited by old forms that have become obsolete. For example, in spite of what your stern English teacher taught you, starting a sentence with and or but is acceptable practice today. Even slang has its place. Carl Sandburg observed that, quote, slang is language that rolls up its sleeves, spits on its hands, and goes to work, close quote. In particular, be sure you haven't used plural nouns with singular verbs, and vice versa. And remember, a contraction is perfectly all right. How about consistency? In preparing your book to be typeset, it's important that you observe uniformity. If you spell out California in chapter 1, abbreviate it as C-A-L-I-F in chapter 6, and use capital C, capital A in chapter 11, that's inconsistency. To avoid this problem, why not try a trick used by many professional editors? They establish a style guide. It typically covers such things as abbreviations, how numbers will be expressed, and other points relative to each manuscript. Last, let's talk about presentation. The physical appearance of your work is very important. You want a manuscript you can be proud to send out for advance comments or for editing. Clean copy is important. Don't get it dirty. It's likely to result in more errors and greater costs on the other end. And please don't get carried away trying to emphasize everything. Occasional italic is fine to stress a word or phrase. The use of italic or underlines or bold and caps is, or worse, you know, to go on and on, smacks of amateurism. You may also have learned to type on a typewriter and thus put two spaces at the end of a sentence. In the computer world, one space is preferable. Otherwise, it looks awkward when typeset. No problem, though. Simply do a search and replace on your computer and change the two spaces to one all the way through your manuscript. A style sheet can be used to keep track of your formatting. Each of us has an innate style of expression. The more we practice the writing craft, the more distinct that style becomes. Your style may develop to the point that people reading unbylined work will recognize it as yours because of your unique way of expressing yourself. Style wears many faces. It can be as simple as Hemingway or as complicated as Faulkner, as lighthearted as Irma Bombeck, or as profound as Jerzy Kosinski. The more you write, the more compelling your style will become.